This show furnished by City of Hope.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 800-222-5222. No questions too dumb, no questions too tough, no questions too embarrassing. 800-222-5222. And here's Dr. Chambers.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Memorial Day weekend. Hope you're having some fun getting ready for the barbecue. Well, there was so much news this week. I don't know where to start, what I should be sharing with you. This popped out at me. Burger King has a spa. Say what? Burger King has a spa? What? Is the world is up down now? Yes, they have. Superbugs are everywhere. Are they going to kill us? Maybe. A brilliant out-of-the-box thinking on what causes Alzheimer's. Something I don't normally want to share with you, but this is so intriguing, so brilliant that, we're going to get to it hopefully within the hour. Sunscreen. Are you using it right? For a lot of you, you're not using it at all. And guess what? Sunscreen doesn't work unless you put it on. And then, of course, there's the tragic story of Johnny Depp. Now, Mr. Depp has a new movie out this weekend, Alice Through the Looking Glass. I saw the original, directed by Tim Burton. I thought it was fun. Burton's movies are always very interesting. Johnny was superb as the Mad Hatter. But he's making headlines for different reasons this weekend. And the reasons is this. His wife, Amber Heard, is alleging that he committed domestic violence, that he beat her up. Not once, but many times. And throughout their short marriage, and it is a short marriage, it's about 15 months, she alleges now that he was verbally and emotionally abusive from the get-go in their relationship, from the beginning. But yet she still married him. Now, there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in the media about this. Before we get into the specifics, I just want to go back and give you a little feel for my view of domestic violence and how I experienced it both personally and sort of professionally, and what you see over the years. I remember when I was a medical student in Dublin, a while ago now, a couple of decades ago, and we had a lecture from an older physician. He spoke in a very toffee accent, what we would call a West Brit accent. And he was saying, now, for goodness sake, you never ask an alcoholic, does he beat his wife? That's a ridiculous question. What you ask is, how often do they beat their wives? And I went like, say what? Because let's just say, being Irish, I knew people who drank, of course. In fact, I had an uncle who was an alcoholic who sadly has passed from the ravages of that disease. And when I heard this lecture, I went like, oh, and started going back in my mind. Could my affable, very nice, extremely popular uncle, could he be an abuser? I don't think so. Even to this day, I don't think so. But he got me thinking. So then when we're dealing with alcoholics clinically, we would often ask this question. It became part of our lexicon. We began to see alcohol, see drugs in a different way. Began to view domestic violence in a different way. And then we'd meet the women who would come in with signs of physical abuse. And you say, well, how did you get that black eye? And there would be things like, oh, you know, the door was opening and it just hit me in the eye. To which you reply, well, how high is the door handle? Is it at the top of the door? Because usually they're in the middle, unless you're bending over or you're 3 feet tall like a child. It's not going to hit you in the eye. Now, I don't want you to think that this only happens in Ireland. I had this happen to me in North America. I had this happen to me in America. When the nurse says, hey, doc, she's got facial trauma. I go, okay. And she says the bathroom door hit her in the eye. And the sarcasm, the look of anger on the nurse's face was a price to behold. So I go in and this woman tells me the story that her husband was opening the bathroom door. She was bending over and hit her in the eye. And I said to her, you know, that's kind of a cliche in the medical world. And she said, well, no, that's what happened. And he gave her the usual advice about going to somewhere safe and we'd help her and all that. She says, my husband is outside. Do you want to talk to him? I said, sure, bring him on in. So he came in, small, squat guy. very fit. And he was so hostile to me, you would not believe. So, you know, we talk about what's going on. Never accused him, of course. Bad, bad mistake to do that. So we talk. He said, this is what happened, this and that, and he left. Afterwards, the nurse said to me, well, what did you do? I said, she gave me her story. Not sure that I believe it. In fact, I probably don't. I talked to the husband. She said, well, what did you say to him? Did you tell him he's the... I go like, no. And you know why I didn't tell him that? Because she's going home with him. I antagonize him, and he is a wife beater. Guess what's going to happen when he goes home? I might make myself feel good by verbally attacking him. I might make myself feel good by saying, hey, you're a whatever. But it won't help her. What helps her is to remind her that she can get out of that relationship. What helps her is to remind her that there are people out there who will help her. That there are people out there like her family, like healthcare professionals, who will help, and there's safe places to go. There is. Now, I kind of built up a strong bias in my life about this problem because I think that there's no real excuse for this at all. Having said that, over the years, I've encountered men with this anger, this violence, this misogyny in them. And they need help too. And often what you find is that they've come from abused homes, that they were physically abused as a child. The father physically abused him and the mom and all the other kids. And it seems to be just an extension of it going on from generation to generation. And it's not just among the poor, not just among the middle class or the upper class. It's among all of us. It's a society-wide problem. Now, this week, Johnny Depp was accused that he was abusing his wife, Amber Heard. He's 52. Ms. Heard, or Mrs. Depp, is what, 30? They've been married about 15 months. And there's all kinds of questions spiraling around in the media about this. Is she using it as an excuse to get a better divorce settlement? That's one theory. Was she actually physically assaulted? Are her bruises, are the marks on her face coming and going in various photographs? Seen on Instagram, then not seen? I don't know. No prenup agreement. The more pressure you can put on, the better the settlement you're going to get. He has a major movie opening this weekend for Disney, Alice Through the Looking Glass. That changes things. That increases the pressure. But I want to remind you, you want to join in the conversation? 800-222-5222 is the number to call. That's 800-222-5222. And you can call in and ask a medical question or whatever, comment on the show, whatever's on your mind, and I'll help. And I won't even charge you a copay. 800-222-5222. So what is going on? In one of these domestic violent instances with Johnny Depp and his wife, Amber Heard, the police were called. The LAPD were called. They arrived. They assessed the situation. Nobody got arrested. Some in the media have made a lot of the fact that the police officer left his card and said, if you want to call us back, if you change your mind, please contact us. But here's what's puzzling to me, and I'm not 100% certain of the timeline, is that if she had bruises, if she had marks of assault, why didn't the LAPD arrest Mr. Depp? Why didn't they arrest somebody? Why did they just go away? I don't know the answer to that. But here's what I do know. Over the years, I've seen people, I've actually been subpoenaed into cases where something has gone down in a marriage and they said, you saw this patient that they were assaulted or their child was sexually assaulted or allegedly sexually assaulted and nothing was done at the time. And then they bring you in and they want to make this accusation and they're trying to use your medical visit as part of that. And that kind of scares me. That kind of scares me. The number of allegations of child sex abuse during divorces has zoomed up over the last 20 years. And most of them have turned out not to be true. So sometimes not all allegations are true. I'm not saying that Ms. Heard's allegations are not true. I'm not saying that at all. I don't know. Nor do you, for that matter. You don't know. You may have watched it on TMZ. You may have read People magazine. Doesn't matter. You don't know. We do know this. People who are abusing alcohol, who are high in drugs, lose self-control. And they do their tempers, they get paranoid, they do lash out, they do get violent. That's a fact. Anybody who has ever, ever played, seen anybody with drink, knows that if you're running a bar, my parents had a bar in Ireland, we saw people, give them half a beer. They want to fight the world. Doug, you want to get in the conversation? How are you?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, Doug, I am.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that alcoholism is a family disease.
Uh-huh.
It affects every member of the family.
Absolutely.
It's not to say that one person is sicker than the other or is at fault, but it's such a serious disease. And there's an organization called Al-Anon,
mm-hmm.
which is a sister program of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah.
And it is to help the members of the family who are affected by the other members drinking or not drinking. So what I'm trying to say is that even if the member of the family that's labeled an alcoholic is not currently drinking, it doesn't mean that the disease has gone treated.
Absolutely, Doug. It does not mean any of those things. The simple fact is, if one member of a family is sick with any disorder, it affects everybody. If one member of the family is an alcoholic, I assure you, all members of that family are affected, including the children. Nobody gets out without a scar. Nobody gets out without feeling some pain. Now, on the Johnny Depp, Amber Heard stuff, Depp and his lawyers argued that Heard's request was motivated by a financial settlement in their divorce case. And in response to the negative media attention she received following the announcement of their separation earlier this week. Well, I don't know if that's true. All I know is it appears that Mr. Depp has some kind of alcohol drug issues because it's come up in the media before. Ms. Heard does have some bruises. It's unclear whether Johnny Depp inflicted them or not. We're not going to solve that. But what I want you to take home from this little talk is this. Domestic violence is alive and well, sadly. It affects all segments of society. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't happen every week. It only has to happen once a year, once every 5 years. And that puts the fear into the person. That puts the fear into them so that they behave in a certain way. It's about control. It's not about somebody being evil. It's not about the abuser being evil. But it's about the abuser having to stop what they're doing. It's about the abuser getting help. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. When I come back, maybe a slightly lighter topic, Burger King Spa. Yes. And the good thing is they deliver food to you. They give you food during the spa. What's not to like? I don't know. 800-222-5222. This is Dr. Chambers on call, live and local on the Memorial Day weekend on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Stay tuned for more Dr. Chambers on Call.
Dr. Stephen Foreman on cancer and City of Hope.
So the exciting work we're doing right now has to do with how to use the immune system to treat cancer. And that therapy is being used for diseases that who would have guessed? Melanoma, lung cancer, leukemia, lymphoma, and in our program, we're trying to extend this to many other diseases, prostate, pancreas, breast, ovary, cervix, brain, to make not just surgery, radiation chemotherapy part of what people get, but maybe immune therapy is part of their therapy and maybe the only therapy they get. And I think that is the new frontier for us, and it addresses the patient's question, what can my immune system do to help get me well? And we're saying, you know, we think you're right, and we think we have some things that will hopefully be good for you.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
Listen to Sam Nation with Sam Merjovsky every weekend here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Proudly a millennial free zone with massive doses of microaggressions. That's Sam Nation every Saturday at 3 p.m. and Sunday at 6 p.m.
Your life is lived on our floors, and we take that to heart. At Lumber Liquidators, we're committed to making sure you receive the highest quality, most beautiful hardwood flooring at the lowest possible price. We call that value, and today our value is better than ever. We invite you to stop by your local Lumber Liquidators during our customer appreciation event, May 18th through May 31st. See all the latest styles and get exclusive deals on more than 400 top quality floors. Our flooring experts will help you pick the perfect floor for you. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you today.
At Orchard Supply Hardware, they believe that no project is too small. Discover your own can-do spirit with helpful know-how and quality products for all your paint repair and backyard projects. Orchard Supply Hardware, home improvement improved. Find a store near you at osh.com.
To make your car go, press your foot down on the pedal.
Coming up on the next drive home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we'll tell you about Donald Trump shaking my hand and Bernie Sanders kissing your babies over the Memorial Day weekend.
Kissing something else.
Live and local, right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on call, live and local, Memorial Day weekend on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call if you want to get in the conversation. And remember, on this show, no questions too dumb, no questions too tough, and no questions too embarrassing. We can't even see your face. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. Now, this story jumped out at me, and I wanted to share with you so badly, and it's this. In Finland, we have the first Burger King spa. You know Burger King as in the home of the Whopper, French fries, milkshakes, all that kind of stuff? They've created a health spa in Finland. You go like, whoa, don't believe it. Don't believe it. So then I dug into the headline. Up pops the picture. The Burger King spa with all the logos and all the rest of it. I thought like, wow. If you don't believe me, check out my Facebook page. I've got a picture of the Burger King spa in Finland. Go after the show, please. Not now. After the show, go have a look. And if you dare, hit like. Let me know you're around. So I thought, okay, so what are they actually going to do in this spa? Then it turns out they're going to give you massages, all the usual stuff, trying to get you healthier, trying to encourage you. And they give you food, right? I thought, that's sweet. They're going to send out for healthy food. I thought, like, that's really, I mean, they're beginning to recognize, perhaps, that the overly processed food, that calorie-dense food, is not that healthy. That's a good thing. What? Oh, no. Oh, sorry. What? My producer's just telling me that that's not true. I don't, no. Yes. It turns out that Burger King are going to be giving you Burger King food when you're in the spa. Now, how could that be healthy? It's calorie dense. It's fried. I mean, really, you're going to a spa trying to improve your body, and Burger King wants to feed you their food. I mean, talk about up being down, black being white. This is ridiculous. If you're going to a spa, you want to try and make yourself look healthier, feel healthier, be healthier. Eating burger, fries, milkshakes, not going to do it. It doesn't matter where you go. Even if it's in Finland, if they've got the best spa in the world, they're going to feed you that food, you're not going to feel good. Steve, you've got a provocative question there, do you?
Well, I don't know if it's more a question, kind of a statement? Hello?
A statement? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, basically, regarding the I think the issue of alcoholism, I think that was the topic of conversation that you were kind of getting
sure.
out of, right?
Yeah.
So bottom line, I mean, I grew up around people, many, many people that drink. I think everybody does. It's everywhere you go. And the bottom line, it's not a disease. It's a choice. You decide to pick up a bottle. I mean, you can call it whatever you want. Once you label something else, you take away the responsibility from yourself and you put it onto something else. Well, it's a disease, guys. So what do you expect me to do? I'm doing the best I can. Then you end up becoming a drama king or queen with the rehab and the this and then that and Bill, he, my dad was an alcoholic. My mom was an alcoholic. Therefore, I'm an alcoholic. It's like, you know what? You just don't do it. I mean, it's as simple as that.
So, Steve, do you drink yourself?
I do not.
Ever?
I did when I was younger, and I made a choice not to do it. I did when I was my teen.
Okay, and what age did you make the choice at?
I'm sorry?
What age were you when you made the choice?
I stopped when I was 17.
Wow. What age did you start?
14.
14. 15. So did your dad drink?
There. I'm sorry?
Did your dad, was he a drinker?
Yes.
Okay. Did he abuse you?
Did he what?
Did he abuse you?
No.
Okay. So but you obviously didn't escape without having some kind of problems from this. Is that fair?
No, I didn't. No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. But my point is that once, as I've gotten older and, you know, just live life and seen everything that there is, it's just like I've raised my two kids now. Neither one of them have a drinking issue. And I've always told them the same thing from the get-go. I said, you can do whatever you want, but there's consequences.
Well, how old are your children now?
My son's almost 24 and my daughter's going to be 20.
Okay, so they're pretty young.
And
your dad, how is he? Is he still drinking? Still with us?
He's dead.
He's dead. What did he die of? I'm sorry for your loss, Steve.
No, he had advanced. He had prostate cancer that went into his bones.
Okay. Not related to the alcohol.
I'm sorry?
That wasn't related to the alcohol.
So, not that I can. No, I don't believe so.
So, Steve, when you gave up the alcohol, how did you do it? Did you go to AA? What happened?
Me?
Yeah.
Actually, to be perfectly honest with you, when I moved to California in 1987, there was a man who had issues with it throughout his life, and I walked in to see him in his apartment. He was laying in his bed because he was getting down to the declining years of his life, and he looked over at me, and he goes, what do you need it for? And I said, I didn't give him an answer. I couldn't answer him because I didn't have a good answer.
Okay.
So, you know, that was just something that connected with it. But the bottom line is, I just have just lived long enough to know the best thing to tell people is, especially obviously once it becomes a problem, it's much more difficult to deal with them. But if you can mitigate it before it becomes a problem.
Okay. Well, you see, here's where I differ with you, Steve. I obviously grew up in a culture. I'm Irish. I came here when I was a grown adult, so to speak. Been here for decades, of course. More time in America now than I was in Ireland. But I got used to people drinking. The bar culture is very strong. Very, very strong in Ireland. Never liked it myself. My dad drank maybe sometimes a little bit too much. Didn't like him when he drank. Didn't like him at all when he drank. And he didn't like me. Maybe he didn't like me even when he didn't drink. That's another story. But the bottom line is the idea that you can quit alcohol because it's a choice or quit cocaine or quit these other drugs is kind of dated, Steve. That's what I grew up with. That's what AA preaches, is that if you sit in a room and you succumb to a higher power and you say, boom, I'm going to stop drinking, don't need help from anybody, it doesn't really work. If that works, Steve, I promise you, I would tell my patients. I promise you, I would tell my friends who are struggling if they're drinking, how just say no. Nancy Reagan tried it with drugs, didn't work. Now, I have a video on my website called New Effective Approaches to Alcohol. And it's an entertaining video, but it gets the point across. And it's this. For over 90 years, we've told people, it's really your fault if you drink too much. It's really a moral failing in you. You're a loser if you can't quit alcohol. And now we know, without doubt, that alcohol, drugs, it's a disease like diabetes. As I could come in and say to you, Steve, your blood sugar is high. Just get it together. Your sugar will come down. I would never say that to a diabetic. I would give them fluids, give them insulin, fix them up, get them going, encourage them to eat right. But I know that they have a problem that can't be solved with willpower. And alcohol and drugs can't be solved with willpower alone. Because if it was, if we could, we would have been doing it. For 90 years, AA has had a stranglehold on addiction management in the United States. For over 90 years. And what happens when we looked at it? They have a success rate of between 5 and 10%. That's over 90% don't succeed. Now, Steve, you came into me and you were in a tragic situation that you had cancer. Just hopefully that would never happen to you, but just say it did. And I said to you, Steve, we got a treatment that's over 90 years old and the success rate is 10%. All you have to do is sit in a room and pray to a higher God and get the willpower to quit. get the willpower to get rid of the cancer, you'd look at me like I was crazy. You would look at me like I was just a moron, and you would run to the nearest 21st century oncologist and get treatment. And what I want people to take home from this is, I don't doubt that willpower in life is important. I don't doubt that willpower in life helps you achieve stuff. But there are certain moments, certain problems that willpower cannot solve. So if you have an alcohol addiction, please find somebody who has modern thinking, who will help you use the drugs to take away your cravings, so that, or even when you binge, it will help. There's all kinds of ways to do it. Watch out. Watch my video on drchambersoncall.com. You'll get it more in details. I got to run to a break. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. That's 800-222-5222. When I come back, superbugs were in the news this week. Superbugs. Are you going to kill us all? I don't think so. This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Stay tuned for the second half of Dr. Chambers on Call.
Dr. Yumin Fong on Cancer and City of Hope.
So the reason I came here as a surgeon is that I do robotic liver and pancreatic surgery. That's something actually fairly new. This was one of the very first places to embrace this technology. I'm also a gene therapist. What I do is I redesign nature's viruses to go and seek out cancer cells that are circulating the body and go and hunt them down and kill them. And now there's a whole new field in science called gene editing. We're now able to go into cells and actually change the genes that are already there. We could go and repair genes that are bad. We can actually turn off genes that are trying to cause too much inflammation and cause damage. Some of the best scientists in the world right now working on those things are here.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
Want to be a thousand-aire?
For $1,000, Val, what is your lucky number guess?
56.
Yay!
You got it!
Yay, I'm so excited! I get to give away $1,000, I'm so happy. Yay, Valerie!
Hey, thank you guys, you guys are good.
Thank you so much. Okay.
The winning is so easy. You could be next. Listen all day, 6 to 6, for the cue to call. Guess the lucky number and win a grand in cash.
After we gave her the grand, she said, you guys are good, great.
Then you're great.
We went from good to great.
Well, hello.
Well, what did John and Ken give her? Nothing.
I want my money.
You can get your money just by listening to KABC.
I got my money.
Dr. Stephen Rosen on Cancer and City of Hope.
We're in the forefront of care. We have the talent. And then we have all of the options that may allow us to control a cancer that in other places, physicians may say, I'm sorry, we've reached the limit of what we can accomplish. We're actually able to formulate drugs, to develop the clinical trials, and then actually take it to patients. The research goes from the laboratory to the clinic and from the clinic to the laboratory, and we're all involved as a team. It is truly unique to City of Hope. There are very few institutions that have the capability of taking a discovery and bringing it all the way to the treatment of an individual.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
KABC pays tribute to all of our fallen soldiers and salutes all of our brave men and women in uniform. Thank you for your service.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Memorial Day weekend on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. You want to join the conversation, or you just want to ask a question about your health, your family's health, 800-222-5222. Years ago, when I was training, I saw this older movie called The Third Man, starred Orson Welles. Black and white, so some of you might never watch it. If you're 20, in your 20s and 30s, you don't like, a lot of them don't like to see black and white movies. You're missing out. This is a masterpiece. But when I first saw it, I thought to myself, well, what's the big deal? And the story is set in post-World War II, just at the end of the war. And there's a black market on penicillin, amoxicillin, the pink stuff that you give your kids when you have an ear infection. Costs what, 5 cents, 50 bucks, 20 bucks, whatever. It's nothing. It's cheap. It's everywhere. Right? And yet there were people killing and dying in this movie for that little bit of penicillin. And it got me thinking. And then I realized this was the beginning of the antibiotic era. This was the beginning when we could tell you this bug is hurting you and we're going to give you this antibiotic. And guess what? You will be better. You will get better the next day. You will be fine. Now, I grew up, there was always antibiotics. It was just like, please, I mean, what's the big deal? We've made that big step in progress. We've beaten the bugs. Then I went to medical school, first 10 years of practice, never thought about resistance, very uncommon. You came in with a urinary tract infection, what do? Just off the top of our head, we'd write you a prescription for a basic drug, boom, we cure your urinary tract infection. Very straightforward. And then people would come in and say to you, I've got this runny nose, my body aches, I feel awful. Can you, I'm going to go to Vegas for the weekends. I need an antibiotic because I've got to get better. And you say to them, nope, you got a cold, it's a virus. And this big to and fro go between patient and doctor happens millions of times every day all over America. So doctors were giving out antibiotics. Then the big agricultural industry discovered antibiotics, and they found that in their big pens where they house all these animals, they were getting sick. That if they pumped them full of antibiotics, a lot of them didn't die from the infections, and they grew quicker and faster. So all of a sudden now, there's antibiotics everywhere in their society. And by the way, big agriculture, the big industry, they use way more antibiotics in animals than we actually use in humans. So where are we in 2016? Well, this week, the scary thing happened. They found a bug that's really resistant, and it scared everybody. And the headline was, CRE, this rare kind of bug, is resistant to the last known antibiotic that could hit it. And the last known antibiotic isn't a new antibiotic. It's an antibiotic that was out long before I was born called colistin. And the scary part of this was, a woman got a urinary tract infection, very simple, everyday thing. Most women listening to me would have had one. And they found that this bug had picked up this way to resist the antibiotic, the last one that could treat it called colistin. So there was kind of a panic within the media, within the medical world, saying, what are we going to do? The first thing you want to note is this. The woman who got the UTI, she had this bug, had this resistance, but there were other antibiotics that worked in her. The scary part that most of the media missed out was this. What they were worried about is that this particular bacterium showed a resistance to colistin, which we use as a last resort in all of other serious infections in hospital. And they're afraid that this resistance from the bacterium will spread to other bugs and become common, and then we're going to have a big, big problem. So some people think we're heading into the post-antibiotic era. And that means that you and I, if we get sick, could die from an infection. At the moment, we lose 23,000 Americans to infection. In fact, if you go back to 100 years ago on the causes of death in the United States, infections were top of the list, pneumonia, TB. Look at the causes of death now, heart disease, cancer. Infection is way down. So we in the medical community are terrified that it's going to move back up and cause problems. So what can you do personally to prevent this? Well, the first thing you got to do is say to yourself, if a doctor suggests I need antibiotics for my sore throat, my earache, whatever it is, ask them, do I really need these antibiotics? Do I really need them? And if I don't, I don't want to use them. And if your doctor says to you, if she says to you, you don't need the antibiotics, it's a virus, it's going to go away, it's going to work its way through your body, your own body will overcome it. Listen to her. Wash your hands. Wash your hands frequently. And stay out of hospital. It's serious. Stay out of hospital. And if you have to go to hospital, go for the shortest period possible and get out. Because that's where our most resistant bugs are. That's where the big problems are. That's where the heavy guns have to be. That's where we use colistin. Don't use colistin in urgent care where I work. It's in hospitals because of the extreme resistance in there. And if you wanted, you want to think of it this way too. If you're taking antibiotics, it affects all the bugs that live in you and on you. Because you really have your own microbiome. You really have your own rainforest that lives on you, that lives in you, that they need you to be healthy, but you need them to be healthy. And if you take an antibiotic, it upsets the whole thing in your body for months on end. And some of the bugs will get resistant to the antibiotic that you've taken. And if you're living in a family, your wife, your husband, your children, they may pick up these resistant bugs. So if they get sick, they have to have a stronger antibiotic with more side effects and more problems. You're getting the picture, I hope. Antibiotics are great when you absolutely need them. Not great if you don't. Not great at all. And then we have to kind of look as a society and say to ourselves, hey, why are we allowing the food industry, why are we allowing the meat industry to use so many antibiotics? Fortunately, the FDA has come in and said, okay, we've got to regulate this. We've got to stop this. And what's happening in January 2017, there's new rules coming in that says this very simply. If the antibiotics are important for human treatment or human disease, human management, you can't use them in animals. Now, the regulations are somewhat vague, and critics say that you could drive a Mack truck through them and that the industry will keep using these antibiotics. I think those laws have to get a bit more restrictive. Those conditions should be really enforced so that we can stop this, because it is a problem, and it's not going to go away, and we need it to go away. You could ask yourself, why doesn't Big Pharma make more antibiotics? Well, it's not as simple as it sounds. And it partly is money. Because when new antibiotics come out, guys like me don't want to prescribe them initially. We want to use the cheaper everyday stuff. And we want to keep the newer stuff, the stronger stuff, for when we really have to. And then when we really have to, we use it all the time. The bugs become resistant to it, and we stop using it. Which means what? The company that developed it doesn't make a lot of money. They make much more money if they develop a new hypertensive drug to lower your blood pressure. That way you have to take it every day for decades and decades. That's where they make their money. The government recognizes this, and now we're trying to encourage them what? To develop more antibiotics, because we as a society absolutely need them. And if we don't get them, we're going to have big problems. 800-222-5222 is the number to call if you want to get in on the conversation. That's 800-222-5222. Now, if you're like me, I kind of like breakfast. It's one of my favorite meals of the day because, you know why? It's full of comfort food. What's not to like? Pancakes, eggs, whatever it is. Now, for years in the medical world, we've been preaching, we've been saying to you, if you don't eat breakfast, you're not starting the engine, you're not setting up the fire to go, you're going to end up obese. That was the mantra. Breakfast you must have. Don't send your kids to school without breakfast. Don't do this. Breakfast, breakfast, breakfast. But here's the thing. There is no magic to the meal of breakfast, that you're breaking your fast from overnight. No magic to it. And if you're one of those people that doesn't really like breakfast, that's okay. Because that one meal is not going to make you obese or not obese. What makes you overweight, what makes you obese, what makes you unhealthy is every single meal. It's the accumulation of what you're doing in all of these meals. And whether you exercise. That's why when people tell me they want to lose weight, they say, oh, I'm going on a diet. What's the best diet? Don't like diets. Hate them. Because the truth is all diets work short term and no real diets work long term. So if you're overweight, you got to change your attitude to food. You got to change your lifestyle with food. That's what you've got to do. Now, during the week when I'm not on the air, you can follow me on my digital platform on the web, drchambersoncall.com. On Twitter, it's at drjconcall. And on Facebook, of course, it's Dr. Chambers on Call. So when I come back, let's talk a little bit more about food, about what you should be doing on the Memorial Day weekend if you're cooking. some do's and don'ts. And of course, sunscreen. Are you using it right? Are you not using it right? And maybe if we have time, a few comments for the 2016 medical students from Dr. Chambers on Call. So all that and more, give me a call if you want to join the conversation. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Memorial Day, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers answers more of your questions when we continue.
Hey, KBC listeners, this is me, Doug McIntyre. We're looking for the next generation of KBC Street Team members. Are you charismatic, charming, and at least 21 years of age? If you love attending events, talking to people, and listening to KBC, this could be the perfect part-time job for you. As a member of the KBC Street Team, you'll represent the station in and around SoCal, interacting with our listeners at KBC client events, air talent appearances, concerts, and festivals, and you'll get paid. What a concept that is. We'll also be hosting two KBC Street Team casting calls June 2nd from 4 to 6 p.m. and Saturday, June 4th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come apply and be part of our KBC family. For more information, go to kbc.com/streetteam.
Dr. Stephen Foreman on cancer and City of Hope.
So the exciting work we're doing right now has to do with how to use the immune system to treat cancer. And that therapy is being used for diseases that, who would have guessed? Melanoma, lung cancer, leukemia, lymphoma. And in our program, we're trying to extend this to many other diseases, prostate, pancreas, breast, ovary, cervix, brain. To make not just surgery, radiation, chemotherapy part of what people get, but maybe immune therapy is part of their therapy and maybe the only therapy they get. And I think that is the new frontier for us, and it addresses the patient's question, what can my immune system do to help get me well? And we're saying, you know, we think you're right, and we think we have some things that will hopefully be good for you.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
It's the unofficial start of summer.
Summertime.
Celebrate with us this Memorial Day weekend. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local, this Memorial Day weekend on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call with whatever is on your mind about your health. And remember, we give you free advice, no copay. 800-222-5222. It's Memorial Day weekend, so what are you doing? Probably going to have a little barbecue, meeting family, meeting friends, having fun, going to the beach. Now, sunscreen, it's just part of everyday grooming at this time of the year. When the sun is out there, especially in California, you got to have some sun protection. Now, when we talk about sunscreens, sun protection factor, SPF, is what we're talking about. And generally speaking, you're going to put on SPF 15 to 50. I never go over 50 because all it's going to do is irritate your skin and not give you that much more protection. In fact, going from SPF 30 to 50 isn't that big a deal. So they're going to charge you a lot more money for 50, go with the 30. Put it on before you get to the beach, before you go outside, at least 15 minutes so it starts working. And you've got to reapply it throughout the day. You're going to spend the day at the beach. You can't just put it on in the morning and think it's going to work all day. Every few hours, you've got to put it on. And use your smartphone to remind you. Use your cell phone. Put a little alarm in there that says, oops, guess what? I've got to reapply. And even when it says it's waterproof, it's probably not. So you get into the ocean, have a swim, you get out, get into the pool, get out, put it back on. You got to do that. If you're a parent, you got to make sure your kids put sunscreen on. The places that people forget, top of the ears, men especially, back of the neck, women, chest, that's usually the areas that they forget. You got to use some sunscreen. Otherwise, you're going to cook. I've already seen several bad sunburns this week because people thought, oh, it wasn't that sunny. I didn't think I'd be out for that long. You gotta use sunscreen. Hi, Lenny.
How you doing, doctor?
What's going on?
A question. I found out that I had a meniscus tear in my left knee. Went to my ortho. I've got to do my MRI. But I've going through the internet and researching, I found out about a way they treat it. It's called stem cells or PRP, platelet enhancement plasma.
Yeah.
Does any of that really work? Because it's extremely expensive.
Yeah, I don't think it really works, Lenny. I wouldn't go that route.
You wouldn't do it at all?
No. What kind of symptoms are you having?
The left knee hurts when I walk. The doctor, you bend it around. It hurts when you extend it.
Okay. And is it unstable? Does it feel like it's going to give way on you?
No. I'm very stable, but there's just the pain.
And what about, does it lock on you so you can't move?
No, it does not.
That's not too bad. How long have you had symptoms for, Lenny?
About a week and a half.
Okay. So what I would do is I'd follow the ortho's advice. I'd get the MRI scan. But hold off. If you suggest surgery, ask him in very direct terms, Lenny, do I absolutely need this surgery? And what will happen if I don't have it? And could I try for about 6 weeks to 3 months to see what goes on? Because one of three things could happen. It gets worse. It gets better. Or the knee becomes unstable and that makes it mute, so you have to go and get something done. And generally speaking, if it's a small tear, it may fix itself with time. You may not need surgery. You may not need expensive stem cell treatments. What scares me is when people get these everyday problems like a meniscal tear, which is really common, right? Really common. And they look it up on the internet and they see these cutting-edge so-called therapies or fixes, and they're usually very expensive. And the insurance company doesn't cover it. And that's usually a tip-off to you that says this. If the insurance company doesn't cover it, if Medicare especially doesn't cover it, it means it probably is not proven and may not work. May not work. So you end up spending all of this money and guess what? Guess what? You don't get any better. But you're out of pocket and all this. Not a good idea. I wouldn't do that, Lenny. Now, if you want to follow me during the week when I'm not on the air, my website is drchambersoncall.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Dr. JC on Call. That's DRJC on Call. And of course, on Facebook, I'm Dr. Chambers on Call. If you swing by Facebook, you see some of the stories that I'm working on for the show. You'll see a link to the Amber Heard Johnny Depp story about did he abuse her or did he not abuse her? A lot of it is there. And I have a picture up. I love this picture. It was a picture of a cronut. You remember a cronut? It's this fancy new donut that's full of calories on top of ice cream and all kinds of stuff. And I looked at this when I saw it because they're advertising it as a treat on Memorial Day weekend. That this treat would have what? Oh, my guess would be 2,000 calories. Now, if there's five people sharing that, maybe. But my guess is there won't be five. My guess is you will be eating it. We're gonna have a look at this, but go to Facebook, Dr. Chambers on Call, have a look. But please, please, don't eat it. Don't buy it. Don't take it. Have a look. Enjoy the look, but then move on. Now, it's Memorial Day weekend, so I'm sure you're going to have some barbecues. So I wanted to give you a couple of tips. When you're cooking food, we're all worried about bugs. We've heard about the super bugs. We talked about it earlier. And here's what I think you should do. If you're preparing the food, if you're the cook, if you're the barbecuer, make sure you wash your hands. Keep everything separate. Keep the meat separate from the vegetables and all that kind of stuff. They've got to be separate. So you need to have an adequate working area, right? Wash hands, adequate working area. And then when you're cooking the meat, when you're cooking the burger, having a thermometer is really important. Because if the meat isn't cooked to 160 degrees, even though it looks cooked on the outside, you're at risk for getting an infection. You're at risk for getting diarrhea. You're at risk of making all those people come to your barbecue sick. And they won't be happy. They'll be calling you back and saying, guess what? I spent the night on the toilet. No, thank you. I'm not coming back to your house. So think about that. And then the other thing is that if you're cooking poultry, they got to be cooked a little bit higher, at about, 165 degrees. And again, a thermometer is very important for that. Now, personally, my bias is really simple. If I eat beef, which is very uncommon these days, I char it. It is cooked. It is nuked. It is dead. No question. Otherwise, I wouldn't eat it. So I'm not suggesting that you have to do that, but you've got to cook it to 160 degrees. And I would never eat raw chicken because salmonella is so common in our chicken population that if you eat raw or undercooked chicken, you are going to get sick. It is that simple. 800-222-5222 if you want to get in on the conversation. Now, this is what? Commencement week. I heard Steven Spielberg was at Harvard talking about his life experience. Oliver Stone was at the University of Connecticut talking about his life experience. So I thought I'd give a few tips to the new medical graduates, the class of 2016. Now, when I graduated all of a little over 20 years ago now, the world was very different. The internet was, what, really taking off or beginning. We didn't really know Google. Google is a big part of medical practice now. I'm sure it was a big part of medical students as they're studying to become, to graduate. But the business of medicine has changed enormously even in the last 5 years. Most doctors are not self-employed anymore. Most doctors are not in groups run by doctors. They're in groups owned by big hospitals. They're in groups owned by chains. So they don't have as much autonomy. The job that you watched on television and all those TV shows over the years is radically different than real life. Radically different. Nowadays, how much time you spend with your patient, what you can do to your patient, what tests you can order, what medicines you can prescribe, are all dictated by other people besides you or your patient. And you have to understand that. And when patients come into your office, as I'm sure you've experienced even as a student in outpatients, they don't necessarily believe what you're saying. You can tell a lot of parents that vaccines work, they don't believe you. You can show them the facts, they won't believe you. So what you need to do as a physician is this. Let them know, these are the scientific facts. This is what I believe. I believe vaccines work. I understand if you don't. But if you want to bring your children into my practice, you may be putting other children at risk because they could be carrying communicable diseases that can be prevented by vaccines. Or you may be a physician who says, that's okay, I'm going to welcome those people into my practice. But when you're deciding to accept a patient in your practice, you have to look at their philosophy, they have to look at your philosophy. And if there's a clash, if you're intolerant of people who won't get the kids vaccinated, not going to work out for you so well. Not going to work out. You need to think about that. And nowadays, the doctor's job has been diluted. Pharmacists can prescribe now. We have nurse practitioners doing good work. We have physician assistants doing good work. And you're part of the team. But what I have found when things go wrong is you're no longer in 2016. You're back in 1970, and everybody steps back and says you're the doctor. So if there's one thing I can say to you is this, that when you're the doctor and it's your patient, it's your responsibility. So that you make sure that your patient knows that you're the one that will help them. You're the one that will help them decide. But ultimately, when things go wrong, it's because of you, of your decisions. So never make a decision for your patients because some bureaucrat tells you or because that's the norm. You have to do what's in the best interest of that individual patient, regardless of the outside pressures. Running out of time at a little longer piece, but I will put it up on the web and I will check out my website, drchambersoncall.com, for the rest of it. Now, during the week, don't forget, of course, you can follow me on drchambersoncall.com, Twitter, drjconcall, and Facebook, Dr. Chambers on Call. You can catch most of the stuff, little updates on this, and my weekly podcast usually goes up on Monday, probably Tuesday this week because of the holidays. What else can I say? Don't get scared by medical headlines. When people put out these things that says superbugs are going to kill us, we usually find a way out of it. When people say, don't do this or don't do that, or the medical headline wants to grab you and scare you, it's usually because they want clicks. And you have to understand that. And that's what this show is about. We don't want to scare you. We want to help you to understand. So if there's something that you read that scares you, you can always call in here Saturday morning or send me an email, drchambersoncall@gmail.com. And I'll respond to it live on the air. This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Memorial Day weekend on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Information in this show is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. It is not a replacement or substitute for professional medical advice and/or treatment.
Consult with your own doctor for information and advice on your specific medical condition or questions.
This show furnished by City of Hope.